This is an All Ears English podcast episode 1429, all up in your head about culture. Welcome to the All Ears English podcast, downloaded more than 150 million times. Are you feeling stuck with your English? We'll show you how to become fearless and fluent by focusing on connection, not perfection, with your American hosts, former IELTS examiner Jessica Beck and Lindsay McMahon, the English adventurer, coming to you from Denver and Portland, USA. What does the phrase all up in your head mean? Today, we answer a question from an Instagram listener. Plus, we go into high and low context culture and what it means for your success in the business world.
Lindsay, what's going on in Denver?
Hey, not much. The sun is shining as usual here, so that's good.
Oh my gosh, it is here too. It's hot. I don't think I'm genetically predispositioned to be happy in the heat.
Is that right? Yeah, it can be really hot. Sometimes it feels like you're under a hairdryer here in Denver. It's hot, dry heat. But over there, you guys have kind of more of a moist, like a humidity, like a humid heat, right?
Yeah, which makes it like stickier, you know? Yeah. I would rather have a dry heat, but I don't know. If I go like home to Nevada and it's the dry heat, then I want to go back to the humidity. So
yeah,
the grass is always greener, as they say.
Grass is always greener. That's a good expression. And speaking of expressions today, we're going to go into an interesting one that came up as a result of a question in Instagram. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Someone asked something? Yeah.
Yeah. So this weekend, guys, I posted an Instagram video teaching you guys how to say you're winning at something because I had just fixed my sink by myself and I was like so excited. So I made an Instagram video right away and I was like, I am winning at fixing my house. So a subscriber or a follower, I should say, posted a question. So thank you, Abhamza. Gosh, it's so hard reading those sometimes.
We struggle with names. It's not easy. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Okay, but thank you. And so he asked, what does it mean to be all up in your head? I heard it while watching a series, but I couldn't figure out what it means. By the way, I'm winning at listening to your podcast more than two episodes a day.
That's fantastic. Well, I'm glad this listener is tuning into two episodes a day. That is awesome. So what does it mean, Jessica? What does it mean to say all up in your head?
You know, that's a good question because it's not actually a phrase I personally use very often, but I know lots of people do. I mean, my friends do. So it means like you're thinking too much about something and it has like a negative connotation, right? So like if a friend is obsessing about something that they shouldn't be, they're anxious about something, then I might give them this advice like, stop being all up in your head about this job interview. You know you're prepared. Yep. Let's go distract ourselves and take a hike and so you can get out of your head for a while.
Oh, that's good. It's so important to be able to have friends to tell you that.
I know, right? We need important. Like reality checks sometimes.
Oh, for sure.
Do you use this or do you do this?
I do this for sure. No doubt. I definitely get up in my head. Not as much. I mean, more so like earlier in my life. But I think, now I just like to take action. But there are times when I can just get in my head on something. And it's kind of hard to get out of your head. That's why meditation certainly helps, or exercise. Or like you said, being in the woods, being outside.
Yeah, totally.
Hugely helpful. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Those three things. Like these are the healthiest ways to get out of your head for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And there are certainly unhealthy ways, but we don't recommend those.
No, of course not, because we are healthy and positive on this show.
Definitely.
Oh my gosh, something just fell off the wall.
Whoa. Oh.
You know, I repainted this weekend and I tried to hang up this painting James did and I did it all wrong apparently because it just fell. But anyway, I'll fix that later. Okay. What's another way we use that all up in? Because that is something we use in a lot of different phrases.
Yeah. So let's break down this phrase, right? To be all up in. I mean, so basically, first of all, I mean, what does it mean to be all up in? Let's use the example of to be all up in someone's business. First of all, why do we say all instead of just to be up in someone's business? I mean, that's interesting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can say up in someone's business, but yeah. We like to go to extremes, right? So to be all up in someone's business, and again, I don't feel like this is the way either of us talk, but yeah, listeners, you'll hear this. You'll see this in like our Instagram subscriber saw it, you know, in a series. So to be all up in someone's business is like you're caring too much about what's happening in their lives. You're like invading their privacy, maybe asking too many questions or giving too much advice or opinions about what they're doing, right?
Yeah, so it kind of has a connotation of like being aggressive or being nosy. Nosy, yeah, and aggressive totally. At the same time. You're confronting someone, you're like, tell me what you did this weekend. Well, why won't you tell me, right? You're being very right. pushy. This makes me think a little bit of the South.
Because really?
I was talking to some friends the other night. Actually, I have a friend who lives in Colorado now and has grew up in North Carolina. And she was describing how in the South, people tend to just be more up in each other's business, right? So, you know, you may say, someone may say, oh, I saw your sister at the grocery store and she was buying this and why? Or just really kind of being That's a so lot funny. More like digging in. And I think they think of it as a way to connect and be friendly. But the norms are so different in different parts of the country.
Oh, for sure. I feel like that's also a feature of a closer-knit community, right? Yeah, like maybe in smaller towns. This weekend, I've been on like an old movie kick, and I watched an older Robert Altman film from the 90s called Cookie's Fortune. Okay. And it's the small town guys. It's sort of like a mystery, but it's more about how these people interact with each other. And it's really, really funny. It's a great movie. But I think it is more of a feature of small towns.
Yeah.
But if we like zoom out also, like not just within our country, but comparing countries, I think this is a feature of high context and low context cultures as well. Like how personal you get, how direct you are with somebody.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, so, you know, we talk about this a little bit in our business course, guys, especially in the in which module is that in? Is that in the meetings module, actually? I don't remember. I think so.
Yeah, it's in the meetings module. And the last lesson of that module, you teach this lesson regarding these cultures and how it helps us to negotiate.
Our brand new Business English course is live. Get in now to hear 25 plus interviews with native speaker business professionals and to get insight from more than 100 active professionals on the vocab they use at work. AllEarsEnglish.com/business. Yes, I did my master's degree in this, not just in low context, high context cultures. That would be a long 2 years. But I did my master's degree, guys, in learning how to understand cross-cultural communication. So what are the underlying aspects of communication beyond language that are there that we may not see that do influence our communication? And it ties in, of course, with history, with societies, governments, all economies, all these things. But how would you imagine that our society, the U.S. culture, is kind of, which side does it lean towards, would you say, Jessica, here?
Oh, we're on the low context side for sure. Like we are very direct. We are, we appreciate our physical distance from another person.
Yeah.
And I could say that for sure. Like, it's not just about like verbal sort of ideas being aggressive and direct, but it's also about like how close you are to another person physically. I know that definitely took some getting used to for me when I first moved to Asia, and I'd be standing in a line in Taiwan and people would be standing like right up behind me, just like so close. Yeah, and I was like, what is happening right now? I'm very uncomfortable.
That's really hard. Yeah, physical distance is so important. I struggled with this a little bit in Japan too when I was working. I think Japan is a higher context culture than the U.S. Also, the U.S. is not the lowest. There are certainly cultures, I think Scandinavia, maybe Germany, that fall even lower than the U.S.
Really?
On the scale.
Oh,
yeah.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, based on some research, right? A lot of this research has to be challenged, and we have to, it's so hard teaching cross-cultural communication, right? Because we're dealing in generalizations, which is so tough.
Definitely.
But yeah, I mean, I remember the idea that I you know, my managers at my school were, you know, there was some issue with one of my classes. I think a student had complained about something. I'm not sure what, but they were trying to kind of insinuate that and hope that I got the idea, but I never got the idea.
Oh my God, that same exact thing happened to me. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, it's the same. And it was so frustrating when somehow I found out and there was the impression that I should have understood that from the beginning. But if I wasn't told it, there was no way that I was going to get that based on my own culture. So it was really interesting and it was a real culture shock. Yeah.
Yeah, that same exact thing happened to me. I mean, like, yeah, I mean, I wish I could have had this lesson about high context, low context cultures before I started working in Taiwan.
You should have,
Because like in the beginning of my teaching career there, same exact, like one of my co-teachers asked me some random question about like a library and I had no idea what she was talking about or why she was asking me about this.
Yeah.
And then it was like a week later, I had to ask someone else what she meant and like it was finally explained to me. I was like, oh my gosh. So
interesting.
This idea of like, you know, being too nosy is too direct. But then like some balance of being direct enough to be understood and having that foresight into what culture is this person I'm talking to, how will this inform my understanding? Do I have to ask more questions?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, it's true. I mean, the fact is like this is part of becoming kind of a global competitor in the market, in the world economy, right? In our jobs, we are dealing, almost every job now is dealing cross-culturally, right? We have maybe clients or colleagues around the world, and that's a great thing, but we have to have that extra level of insight. How are we going to make this meeting successful, this negotiation, right? We have to know those things. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, for sure. Today, guys, oh my gosh. I mean, that's why, that's also why it's difficult to have these conversations sometimes because the world is changing so fast.
Yeah.
And a generation from one country will have many different aspects of that high context, low context culture as compared to two generations ago, right?
Ooh, that's
so
interesting.
Mm-hmm. Like the question of being aware of this first, yes, it is very important. And you need this knowledge in order to approach someone and still stay open-minded in the future.
And that's why we talked about this in our course, you know, in the Business English for the Global Professional course, guys, which is live now. You can go to allearsenglish.com/business to get in and you'll find a lesson on this in our module that is dedicated entirely to meetings. Meetings are huge, right, Jessica? So important.
So important. Oh my gosh. The interviews in that module are fantastic. We talk about in-person, in-house meetings, leading a meeting, right, with your staff, but then also conducting meetings with outside clients because, of course, those are two very different things.
Yes.
So it's all covered in there. But just quickly, one more vocab phrase.
Okay, yeah.
With all did we miss one? Up Do in. It. Yeah. So this is more about physical distance, to be all up in someone's face. So that is like, right, just closing that physical distance too much and just standing like nose to nose with somebody, like aggressively challenging them. But it could also be kind of the same as all up in someone's business if we use it like figuratively.
For sure. For sure. And you may use this if, you know, if you're being, as you said, you're being physically challenged. You know, this person was all up in my face. And yeah, again, I don't say this because I usually don't have that scenario happen in my normal life.
Right, exactly. Like I've never had that happen.
But hey, you know, it's good to have the tools.
Well, I mean, like, you know, like our Instagram person asked, it's because he heard it in a series. And that's the point, guys. Like, we want you to understand and connect with our culture, with the stuff that you would enjoy in movies and TV shows. And these three phrases today will definitely be seen in a lot of series. But guys, a lot of the discussion today as well was about business skills, guys, which we need today because it is always changing. So check out our business course, guys. Go to allearsenglish.com/business.
All right. Good episode today. Good stuff coming into all about high context, low context culture. These phrases, we covered a lot today.
Yeah, I know. Oh my gosh. Great conversation.
All right, Jessica, I'll talk to you soon. Have a good day.
Sounds good. Thanks. You
all
too.
Right, bye.
Thanks for listening to All Ears English. If you are taking IELTS this year, get your estimated band score with our 2-minute quiz. Go to allearsenglish.com/myscore. And if you believe in connection, not perfection, then hit subscribe now to make sure you don't miss anything. See you next time.